Hello, welcome. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk, and I'm going to talk astronomy today. So what's new in the world of astronomy? Well, nothing new, but the same old pattern. On December 21st, I said December, or did I say September? So on September 31st, we'll have the shortest day of the year. And that means the tilt of the Earth is going to be at a maximum away from the sun. So we're going to have the shortest day. And after that, every day, it gets longer and longer. So what is there to talk about in astronomy today? Well, thousands of government UFO reports are now available at a Canadian university. So if you want to read about UFOs, a private UFO enthusiast has donated his collection of 30,000 documents to the University of Manitoba in Canada. Truth is in there. And what else is there? Weird tiger stripes on an icy Saturn moon, Enceladus, finally explained. So we know there's stripes, and then we know there's geysers on Enceladus. Wow, look at this. This is a cool article. I'm going to read it for sure. Europe is launching a suicide robot to hug space trash out of orbit. So if you stop and think of it, you might think, oh, probably there is some space trash out there. And I remember Luke Skywalker and what's the name? Han Solo. He attached himself to, in the first Star Wars, he attached himself to a spaceship. When they loaded or unleashed the garbage, he floated away with it. And so there's lots of space garbage up there. Okay, so I'm going to start with the universe remembers gravitational waves, and we can find them. So how can the universe remember anything? So I'll try to go to that first. The universe remembers gravitational waves, and we can find them. So I think that's a bit of an odd article, isn't it? And we will read it now as soon as I... There they are. I couldn't locate my glasses because everything in here is black. And my glass case was black. So this is on livescience.com. It was done 5 days ago. And it's by somebody called Paul Sutter. So I'm wondering what it's going to talk about. So here is an illustration, an artist's illustration, of two black holes merging and creating ripples in space-time known as gravitational waves. Sometimes we all have too much time in our hands, and that's not what happened to me when I was thinking about this. I was actually very busy, but I was thinking about space-time and the fabric of space-time and how we just don't talk about space anymore. So the universe is expanding, or yes, the universe is expanding. The galaxies are moving away from each other because the space in between the galaxies is expanding. So I'm wondering, okay, so could we apply that to us on Earth? So here we have a microphone in front of me, a couple of inches or a couple of centimeters in front of me. How come space-time between me and the microphone is not expanding? How come space-time between New York and Los Angeles is not expanding, or Vancouver and Toronto? But space out there in between galaxies is expanding. So, does it have something to do with dark matter and stuff? I don't know. But I was thinking about that. As I said, too much time on my hands. So now we're going to talk about the universe remembers gravitational waves, and we can find them. So this is, again, on livescience.com by Paul Sutter 5 days ago. Gravitational waves slosh throughout the universe as ripples in space-time produced by some of the most cataclysmic events possible. I'm going to stop here for a sec because something just popped in my mind again, which things do, pops into people's mind. So Newton, I believe he was alive about maybe 400 years ago, 350 years ago. So I wondered if he ever wondered about space-time and the fabric of space-time and what he would think of it now, because Einstein came up with the concept about 100 years ago. So what would all the previous physicists think about this? Did they even have an inkling that there was space-time? So, okay. With facilities like the laser interferometer, gravitational wave observatory, LIGO, and Virgo, we can now detect the strongest of these ripples as they wash over the Earth. But gravitational waves leave behind a memory, a permanent bend in space-time, as they pass through, and we are now on the verge of being able to detect that too, allowing us to push our understanding of gravity to the limits. So I'm going to pause again because I was thinking about something else on the way down here. So I think I've been thinking too much, but I was thinking how I have read that this is the golden age of astronomy. There's lots of spaceships out there, a lot of observatories, a lot of things happening in astronomy. And it is still so slow in terms of humans going out there. Humans are doing experiments at the space station, but if you think of all the wonderful observatories, all the observations, all the telescopes, and then there's still no humans out there. So that, to me, is going very slow. And that's going at a slow pace. So hopefully we can get that going one day. I can't make it happen, but I hope somebody like Elon Musk makes it happen. Anyway, when I just talked about LIGO, I was a bit disappointed when I went there because I had a beautiful new recorder, and it was a very good quality recorder, but I only had a 1 megabyte or 1 gigabyte chip in it, so it didn't record what I wanted it to record. So I did about 3 interviews in LIGO, and I toured the observatory. It was quite fascinating, and that's a trip that went so well. After that, I went to California, Mexico, and then I planned everything so well, and then I couldn't even plan getting enough memory for my recorder, so that was a big faux pas. But anyway, I was in LIGO, and I saw how they did things. I went inside, and it was cool, definitely. So now, what did I just say? We're going to push our understanding of gravity to the limits. So then when the LIGO thing happened, when the first gravitational waves were detected, many scientists were so excited because all their lifetime of work culminated into that little finding where they found how the gravitational waves, they measured the gravitational waves. And there was speculation of, what will gravitational waves do? What will the discovery of gravitational waves lead to? Was it another big bonus that's going to come to us, like in the 1900s, early 1900s, all the quantum physics led to our development of semiconductors and microcomputers and everything, the chips inside, so is this gravitational wave going to lead to something? I hope we can put this big picture together one day and really advance our understanding of the science. So now here we have something else distracting me. It's a spaceship that's going up. But anyway, okay, there's a video of a spaceship going up, so a launch on Earth. So now in this article, it says waves of gravity. Despite the fact that it's over a century old, Einstein's theory of general relativity is our current understanding of how gravity operates. In this view, space and time are merged together into a unified framework known as, no surprise here, space-time. This space-time just isn't a fixed stage, but bends and flexes in response to the presence of matter and energy. That bending, warping, and flexing of space-time then goes on to tell matter how to move. So the thing is, matter tells space-time how to bend. Space-time tells matter how to move. So there's a connection there. In general relativity, everything from bits of light to speeding bullets to blasting spaceships want to travel in straight lines, but the space-time around them is warped, forcing them to follow curved trajectories, like trying to cross a mountain pass in a straight line, but following the peaks and valleys of the topography. That's a good example. What we call gravity is then the result of all that warping of space-time. That's a nice way to put it. And the fact that moving objects have no choice but to follow the curves and undulation of space-time around it. And like any other flexible surface, space-time doesn't just bend and flex. It also vibrates. I didn't know that. If you stand on a trampoline, you'll bend the trampoline down. If anyone tries to walk in the trampoline near you, they will feel your gravity and be forced to follow a curving path. But far enough away from you, they won't even notice your gravitational influence. But if you start jumping up and down on the trampoline, you'll send waves and tremors through the whole thing, and they can't help but be influenced by your motion. So these analogies are good because they're simple enough for a simple person like me to understand, which is pretty good. Now there's another subtitle, says Remembering the Past. Gravitational waves act in the same way, transmitting energy through ripples in the fabric of space-time itself. These ripples originate from just about every kind of motion possible, but since gravity is so weak, it is the weakest force of nature, billions of times over, and gravitational waves are weaker still, only the most energetic movements are capable of creating ripples, able to be detected with instruments here on Earth. So far, our gravitational wave observatories, LIGO and Virgo, have spotted dozens of cataclysmic events, including mergers of massive black holes and neutron stars. The gravitational waves from these events ripple throughout the universe, washing over the Earth. When they do, they ever so slightly, as in less than the width of an atom, move things around. Okay, so let's just pause here for a sec, because I'm trying to think, actually, what this whole article about. So the whole article, again, it's in space.com or livescience.com. The universe remembers gravitational waves, and we can find them. It's by Paul Sutter. So I'm wondering what the purpose of this article is, because I'm reading on, and I don't seem to be putting two and two together here. I'm not sure what they're trying to get at. So let's see if we can read more and see what they're trying to get at. Recently, a team of astronomers, since the gravitational waves generated by gravitational waves, okay, are so weak, we haven't found any evidence for this space-time memory yet. So I guess what they're trying to say is that the gravitational waves, when they come through, they disturb the space-time around us. Maybe even it's going to be the width of an atom, but they still disturb it. So since the gravitational waves generated by gravitational waves are so weak, we haven't found any evidence for this space-time memory yet. But it should be there, looking in the data taken by LIGO and Virgo. What we ought to see is a lasting shift in the position of the detectors well after the passage of the confirmed gravitational wave event. Recently, a team of astronomers examined what it would take to finally see a gravitational wave memory. Since each individual detection leaves behind only an incredibly weak memory, we won't be able to spot the permanent memory left behind. This number of detections won't happen anytime soon, but the next generation of gravitational wave observatories, which will hopefully collect around 10 events per day, could find this memory within a year of observations. This permanent space-time memory ought to be there if our predictions from general relativity are correct. And if we don't find anything after a few years of searching, we'll have to re-examine our understanding of gravity and see if we can forget something. So that article's finished. So what it's saying, I guess, that when a gravitational wave event occurs, gravitational waves are sent out, and they ripple space-time around it. But gravity's the weakest of all forces, so the gravitational wave is quite weak. It's difficult to detect. So what is even probably more difficult to detect, this article, I believe, is saying, is the memory left over by the gravitational wave. So it seems that it's saying the gravitational wave event sends out the gravitational wave, which somehow permanently warps the space-time around every place, even only of the width of an atom, and they're still looking to measure it. Okay. Hopefully this leads to something, because there's a lot of effort. Let's see. I'm going to try to read some of the comments. So here's a comment from THARM23, December 7th, 2019. This is what THARM says. Waves are an emotion which must be discontinuous. You're attempting to define a wave as an entity, but in this case, the importance of the wave is its motion. All this article is referring to is the prediction of a gravitational memory by reverberations of gravitational waves against one another. No one here is arguing about utilizing gravitational waves as energy. That's not possible given how little we know about gravity at the moment. These invaluable measurements serve to aid our understanding. Experimentation on light was a bit difficult when we didn't know how light behaved. However, if someone would like to present a hypothesis for this experiment and a sound method for it, please do. Harnessing energy from the weakest natural force would be a breakthrough, especially on a live science forum. Okay, so these are people that seem to know what they're talking about. So what this article does say to me is that there's lots to be discovered still in everything. So even though if we examine what we've accomplished as a race in terms of where, how far have we come since since Newton, okay, or even Einstein. So when Einstein did his research and made his discoveries, it's still quite a mind-bending, what's the best word for it? It's a mind-bending exercise to try to understand what Einstein was trying to tell us. So it's still difficult stuff, and not just difficult, it is hard to understand, hard to prove, and hard to harness for anything practical. So we have, just wait, sorry, I'm trying to find something on the computer while I'm talking, and sometimes some of us, we can't pat our heads and chew gum at the same time. So that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, so basically, it seems that even though these great discoveries have been made, and as I said, we're in a golden age of astronomy, there's still so much mystery out there. So when I read something like last week, I was reading about the Voyagers and how the Voyager 1 spacecraft, when it crossed into interstellar space, I believe some of the instruments that they wanted to use to measure certain things weren't working, so they had to wait for Voyager 2. So they couldn't have done a test run at Voyager 1 and then confirmed or discovered more things with Voyager 2. So what happens is that lots of things that, which I thought was amazing, the models they had for the edge of the solar system when it meets interstellar space, I am still in awe of how anyone could make a model that was correct or partly correct. And so I'm still in such awe of scientists that do this great work and develop these great theories. But then what that Voyager article told me and this article told me, there's still so much more to discover. And that can be highlighted by the Parker Solar Probe. So I naively thought scientists knew practically everything there is to know about the sun. But that's not correct. So the sun is our star, of course. I believe the next most studied star could be Betelgeuse. So scientists have done an amazing amount of work, amazing amount of discovery on our star and our Betelgeuse. But I was maybe surprised to know that there's still so much they don't know. So that's what's happened with this gravitational waves. With all things in astronomy, because this is an astronomy talk show, there has been such great advancements. But imagine what scientists and astronomers will know in 100 years from now compared to what scientists know now. So I do believe there's going to be amazing amount of progress. Who could have thought 50 years ago that nearly all of us would have little cell phones in our hands and that could give us all kinds of information and we can contact any part of the world? And I think the microchips in this star phone, in the cell phones, are more powerful than the microchips on the space shuttle. So imagine how much we as a species, we're going to have Siri. Siri, can you tell me this? Siri, can you tell me that? We're going to have robots in our lives. We're going to have amazing discoveries. But again, what this article told me today was there is still so much to learn. So we think like a doctor knows everything, but there's so much to learn about the human body. Even though we've been studying it like mad for since the beginning of time, probably, we've been trying to discover more about ourselves. So the same is with these gravitational waves. So Einstein theorized them about 100 years ago. And I think he said, no, they can't be, they can't exist. And other scientists were saying, yes, they exist. He said, okay, they exist, okay. But imagine the mind-bending exercises. Einstein, he had to bend his mind, curve his mind, like space-time curves, to think of these things. So now we're in a golden age of astronomy, and we're learning so much. But what this article, other articles tell me, there is still so much to be learned. So hopefully it could be put to practical use, and it is. But I hope more practical use. So we just talked about gravitational waves and how they are gravitational, right? Okay, that's of course. Gravitational waves are gravitational. But there's still a lot to learn about them. And as it says here, with the next generation of gravitational wave detectors, they will be discovering so many more things about gravitational waves. And as this article said, they could be like recording 10 gravitational events, gravitational waves a day. So this was an interesting article, and it is practical in one sense, because if we use our GPS and if the satellites up in space don't take into account how the Earth bends space-time around it, then because the waves that are sent from our GPS go to the satellite, if they follow a curved path, they follow the path of curved space-time that the Earth has made. If that is not taken into account, we would get wrong data coming out of our GPS. So we would look for UBC and we end up in the pizza place down the block. So gravitational waves are being put to use, or the gravitation of space-time. So it's being put to use there. And I hope in the future we put it more to use. But as I said, one of the amazing things to me is that I guess there's so much more to learn, even though so much has been learned. So there's been such great advancements. So why don't we stop listening to me blab. And I'm going to go for a break. So when we come back, we'll talk more of cool astronomy on AstroTalk on CITR
101.9. You're listening to AstroTalk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
If I'm a Gucci in the winter, I'll see you with your girl. In your chinchilla fur, I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the soup is stopping. Introduced like I'm shining, you my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch ya. Perfume down to your structure. Think I wait.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call
me. On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up of the disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird cannot take the curve, girl, put your ass and the thumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see a hug on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back, take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. Scream with the neighbors when they sleep. Grab the sheets with your teeth. Wiggle your butt cheeks. Pour the styles over your body. Look you up.
Awakened one. Listen without distraction.
Ready or not, you're going in.
Listen to Breakfast with the Browns every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Something that just offers you the place, the chance to stay in a mood.
Breakfast with the Browns.
The best in ambient, downtempo, electronic, ASMR. Pop loungcore music. Totally Alpha Wave.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
-4.
No problem, no problem.
No problem, no problem.
Yeah. Baby, girl, there's something about the way you talk. Baby, come wine for me. I mash her up so much that you never come walk. So don't take your time on me. She had a boy like me before. She says I talk about the other two. She knows that I'm still that nigga chilling on the block. I'm still that nigga chilling on the block. She said there's nothing she will do for me.
Hello, this is Marco, and you're listening to Astro Talk with Stefan Don on CITR 101.9.
Older mentality, I'm still a baby boy, so she's usually mad at me. I'm getting love from these groupies, I know. But you're the only one. But you're the only one. But you're the only one. The MDS, the MDS, when they see us, me and you. The MDS, the MDS, when they see us, me and you.
So I like that stuff, London. So what are we going to do now? Well, maybe talk some astronomy. So there's some interesting articles. There's one, mysterious particle X17 could carry a newfound fifth force in nature, but most experts are skeptical. There's another one, Europe is launching a suicide robot to hug space trash out of orbit. Kind of fun. And weird tiger stripes on the icing Saturn moon. Enceladus finally explained. So let's go to that first thing I said, the mysterious particle X17 could carry a newfound fifth force in nature, but most experts are skeptical. So I think what I remember about forces is they're scientists are trying to find that all unifying force or want something that could unify the forces. And here it says there's another fifth force of nature. So I hope this article, it sounds so cool, but then at the end it'll say, is there a new fifth force of nature? Well, no one's sure. So it'll go through the arguments. Well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. So let's read a bit and see if what this article's about, because it sounds kind of cool. Mysterious particle X17 could carry a newfound fifth force of nature. It's on lifescience.com. A fifth force of nature. It's 3 days ago by Mara Johnson Grow. That's G-R-O-H. And let's read about it. A mysterious particle X17. That's a tongue twister. Our universe is governed by four fundamental forces. At least that's what physicists have thought. Now, new research suggests that there's a fifth force, a discovery that could end up in much of modern physics. On October 23, researchers at the Institute of Nuclear Research in Hungary published a study offering further evidence of an entirely new particle first suggested 3 years ago, dubbed X17. This particle might help scientists resolve one of the biggest mysteries in astronomy, what dark matter is. The particle's existence would also require a rewriting of the standard model of particle physics, the theory that describes the fundamental forces and classifies subatomic particles. But that's only if the particle's existence can ever be verified. The new paper has not been peer-reviewed, and most physicists are skeptical, in part because no outside scientists have yet been able to independently validate earlier findings from the same research team. Richard Milner, physicist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who was not included in the research, told Life Science in June 2016. I'm going to move the screen closer to me. It's a bit far. That's much better. Okay, in 2016, the same group of researchers reported the first evidence of the particle, an experiment done with radioactive beryllium atoms. The physicists measured the light and particles released by the beryllium as it broke down. They noticed that emitted pairs of electrons and their antimatter partners, positrons, tended to go speeding off at a certain angle, behavior that didn't seem explainable with existing physics. So it's strange how from something that, okay, they go off at a different angle than expected, so that raises questions. Crunching the numbers, the physicists have concluded that there must be some unknown intermediate particle that the beryllium decayed into before that particle then emitted the electron and positron pair. This unknown particle X was calculated to have a mass of nearly 17 mega electron volts, hence its name, X17. For comparison, that makes X17 about 34 times bigger than electron. So I assume when they say bigger here, they're saying more massive than electron. The new study added more observations of the proposed particle seen in the decay of helium atoms. A similar experimental setup again showed evidence of an intermediate particle with effectively the same mass. The findings show that this proposed X17 particle isn't a fermion, the type of particle that makes up ordinary matter, but rather a boson, a particle that carries energy and sometimes force. This means X17 might convey a previously unknown fifth force, which the physicists said could help explain dark matter. That mysterious substance makes up 85% of the matter in the universe. It's detectable through gravity, but doesn't interact with light. Okay, so again, this is something that ordinary people don't understand. What is particle X17? It says it's 17 times bigger. I believe that's 17 times more massive than an electron. But most physicists are waiting for independent measurements before they accept the finding. So said Milner, and quote, "I'm skeptical. I think as an experimentalist, that's my natural position when I see something like this, but I think it needs to be investigated." Part of the skepticism arises because the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, tried to hunt for the X-17 particle and failed to find any evidence of it. In light of the new evidence, many more groups will likely continue to search for the particle. If confirmed, the discovery could also open a new way of doing particle physics. For the past half century, physicists have made huge progress in defining the standard model by focusing on the high energy realm, which requires huge international collaborations and expensive accelerators to smash particles together at mind-boggling speeds. The new work, done at much lower energies and costs, would be an entirely new direction for physicists to look for new particles. So Milner says, in quote, "The standard model of physics is very well defined. So if one finds a new interaction beyond it, that is just tremendously important." Okay, so, again, there are so many things that as a race we've discovered and we've done in outer space. It's mind-boggling. But as this article showed, there's so much more that needs to be learned, discovered, or whatever. So now, you know what? I feel like listening to some more music. So I'm going to put on a song. And when I come back, I am going to wrap up. So this is Marco. You are listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. Or is your vision getting a little bit hazy? Or if you're feeling a bit funny, get your friends and listen to CITR 101.9 on Astro Talk with Marco at UBC. Depend on Marco for the latest in astronomy news at CITR's Astro Talk. Get a lot smarter now by listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on Astro Talk.
We got the refugees, all stars, rubber dubbing in the club, Y Club Jean.
Look at here. up and shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cash talking to her, buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another 1/2 hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Check the spelling R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad because you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Perfect, excellent.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down.
Exploding Head Movies, Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 with Marco and Stefan Don.
I'm getting to the cemetery, money for my mind, is it pink like hop? Anyone me a fuck, I feel beg me no stop. Ring for my finger, ball me and Pamela. When done, touch road, every girl tears drop. Number one in a good look book. Them mad cashier, no matter no look good. Authentic, nothing for my body ever book. 5-4, tell a girl me no show. Me no friendly girl, we a flop. If a girl big friend, then me have a friend. And if them want war, no shot a lick head top. Me no play like some USA girl, you know that.
No for do your team, head that mash up, girl. You know for do your thing, you know take back.
Every other tip just a lick when me slap it. The affair of the buck if you think send me drop it. Money conversation on me at the topic. She free to me about take spot. Watch a man before me take that. Me no come for play that girl, I'm most mad. Me too bad. Ask about me sense. Play a game if they ever play. Play with me name. It's a shame. Cause they mother I go cry in a vein in a rain. You see the last girl you this and not this bloodline.
I listened a bit too long. I like some of the music I played. So we're going back to Europe is launching a suicide robot to hug space trash out of orbit by Brandon Spector. It's on livescience.com and it's written 2 days ago. So again, the article is titled, Europe is launching a suicide robot to hug space trash out of orbit. Interesting. The European Space Agency's new four-armed garbage collecting robot is on a mission to clean up the atmosphere and die trying. And after, there's a nice picture that's showing the robot in outer space. And then it has this caption. the largest garbage dump on Earth might be in space. Might be true. In low Earth orbit, the space around our planet of up to 1,200 miles, or 2,000 kilometers in latitude, more than 3,000 defunct satellites and tens of millions of smaller pieces of debris clatter around the atmosphere, and each is moving at tens of thousands of miles per hour. Sometimes two big pieces of the so-called space junk crash into each other, fragmenting into yet more junk, each one a tiny bullet of trash that could critically damage satellites and spacecraft. It's a real problem. Now, the European Space Agency has announced plans to tackle that problem using robot hugs. So, this is showing how much activity there is in outer space. In a mission known as Clear Space One, ESA will launch an experimental forearm robot to grasp a defunct satellite in its clutches, hug the object close, then finally drag it into a kamikaze dive into Earth's atmosphere, destroying both devices. The impact of removing one dead satellite from orbit is a bit like taking one bucket full of water out of Lake Superior. But mission officials said in a statement, they hope the project will pave the way for the new regime of space debris cleanup that our atmosphere desperately needs. Never thought about that. When I was on a train many years ago from New York to Washington, D.C., I asked the conductor or the guy collecting the tickets, I said, what kind of sights are there to see? And he said, you'll see the biggest collection of garbage dumps in the country. So that was a nice way to put it. So it looks like space here has more garbage than from New York to Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. Wow, a new garbage king. In a mission known as Clear Space One, ESA will launch an experimental forearm robot to grasp a defunct satellite in its clutches, hug the object close, then finally drag it on a kamikaze dive into Earth's atmosphere, destroying both devices. The impact of removing one dead satellite from orbit is a bit like taking one bucket full of water out of Lake Superior. The space debris issue is more pressing than ever before, so says Luc Pigeot, founder of and CEO of ClearSpace, the Swiss junk removal startup partnering with ESA on the mission. Today, we have nearly 2,000 live satellites in space and more than 3,000 failed ones. In the coming years, the number of satellites will increase by an order of magnitude, with multiple mega constellations made up of hundreds or even thousands of satellites planned for low Earth orbit, end quote. The need for a cosmic tow truck to remove defunct satellites and make room for new ones is urgent, Pigeot said. Scheduled to launch in 2025, the Clear Space One mission will test its robotic hugging muscles on a mid-side piece of junk called Vespa, which ESA's Vega launcher deposited 500 miles above Earth in 2013. That conical chunk of debris weighs about 220 pounds, making it a relatively light and easy target for capture on the robot's debut mission. After that capture, Vetch and the robot garbage collector will make a controlly yet fiery. So thank you for listening. I am signing off now. This is Marco. You have been listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.